Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
All right. The Chiefs are in the house.
All right.
They are excited today. Okay, whoa, people, settle down. All right, ma'am, put that down. All right, okay. Well, you know, I like to have a little fun with this. So today I have as my guest Nate Brown. And Nate Brown, you know, his name kept kind of popping up all over the place with all these different contact center events. But he's also, he's the co-founder of the CX Accelerator. So I'm going to give a little background on Nate. So while customer service is his primary expertise, Nate is also able to leverage experience in his professional services, marketing, and sales to connect the dots and solve big problems. From authoring and leading his customer experience programs to journey mapping to manage a complex contact center, Nate is always learning new things and sharing with the CX community. And you can also follow him on Twitter using the handle @customers, plural, first. So welcome, Nate, to our show.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy, and thank you for that lovely introduction.
Well, you know, I ran across a blog post of yours, which is I like the blog post, and it's really, really good. I'll be putting a link to it in our posting of this show. But you recognized something that I don't think everybody really picks up on, and the title of the post is The Personality of Customer Experience. And you basically point out that contact centers tend to hire the same types of people, and you recognize that there are other personality types to help really make a solid team. So I was just kind of curious, what was it, your experience in the call center itself, where you realized that even though this person's really friendly, you might need somebody that pays attention to more detail or somebody that's more analytical? You know, how did you come up with kind of researching this topic?
Yeah, well, I'll be fully transparent in the truth that we didn't know that that was the direction it was going to take.
Okay.
Me and Ben Motorham, which you might know him as the CXpert, and he's out of Australia, just a great guy, and he is a Myers-Briggs geek, and we both love this little mini Myers-Briggs exam with this really fun UI and just a great little exam called 16 Personalities. And we've been talking about, you know, customer experience initiatives in particular, which are closely associated to the contact center in many organizations. They are failing. Many of them are failing. I mean, Bob Thompson says upwards of 93% of them are failing.
Wow.
So it's like,
wow.
Here we are in CX Accelerator having these good, robust dialogues on all these great things, and all these wonderful people are in there. And it's like, well, so what is it that's going on? If we feel good about the work we're doing, it's the type of work that's really positive and intrinsically motivating. What is it that maybe is causing some of this failure? And so we decided to try and assess the personality of customer experience as it stands today.
Okay.
In the hunt for some form of maybe a gap or a weakness or just anything, any insight that might come out of that. And so we did about, I think it was like 103 people took this same 16 personalities exam.
Okay.
And the results were fascinating in that, as you can see from that chart that you saw in the post there, Nancy, about like 50% were in almost the same personality type. I mean, just almost identical.
Yeah.
In terms of the trait attributes there. Very extroverted, very much a charismatic, people pleaser type of individual, which is what we would commonly associate with a CX professional, and in many cases a contact center person as well. So it's like, well, you know, okay, so that is certainly the majority, and that's kind of the stereotypical role that we would imagine in this type of job function. But what is it maybe that would help us to enhance the strength of these customer experience teams and enhance our ability in the contact center to really proactively drive customer experience And we're looking at some of these personality types that have like 1%, I mean, 1 out of 100 that we're referencing. And it's things like that architect who takes a strategy and has the ability to execute well on it. The logistician who is, actually has the ability to show numerically the ROI of the work and these things. I mean, if you look at all the skills that are required to do customer experience well, it's incredibly overwhelming and very, very difficult. You've got all these people-based skills and, you know, all this storytelling requirement to the ability to take the voice of the customer and tell a compelling story. But then you've got to have all that strategy wrapped in. Then you've got to have all that analytics wrapped in to have a good a good foundation of metrics and driving that CX dashboard and other things. I mean, it's everything from storytelling to statistics. And no one person is have all those skills intrinsic to them. So, wow, you know, how can we do a better job incorporating some of these other skills and some of these other types of people, some of these other types of thinkers? And that's really what came out of this study for us, is we need to do a better job diversifying ourselves in this field.
Now, can this, I know this is for legal reasons, sometimes you can't, can you use this same assessment in kind of the screening process so that you do get a mix of personalities?
There's many HR processes that include some form of an assessment of this type. You know, many use DISC or some form of Myers-Briggs or Enneagrams are becoming more and more popular now. But I definitely feel like, I mean, the whole idea is that you need to identify what are the skill gaps that you have on your team today, within your function today, and what do you need to go find? And be intentional about that. And instead of just things that are out on a resume, out on a piece of paper, think about the type of person you need and the skills that person's really going to bring far beyond the paper.
Well, you've got now with all the channels out there, you know, you've got somebody that might be better at a chat support versus voice. You've got all the different kind of follow-up activities too. I mean, you need somebody that, you know, you might have somebody that's great on the phone, you know, can really be encouraging, be supportive, be very empathetic, but never ever fills out the form correctly when they get done with the call. You know, and so you might get dinged from a compliance standpoint because, you know, they're not a detail person.
Oh, that's hard. I mean, this study was done really thinking about experience, but the implications to the contact center are very real. And my favorite CX author is Matt Dixon. He wrote The Effortless Experience. And I don't know, Nancy, have you seen what he came out with recently? It was Reinventing Customer Service. It was
I haven't seen this book. So what was kind of his positioning on that?
So it's an article that was through HBR, and it was really looking at T-Mobile and how they reinvented their customer support function. And it was was so fascinating going from this traditional contact center to them creating these little tribes or families of like 48 people with very specific functions and skill sets, and they were serving specific markets of customers. They were personalizing the support experience for these different demographics in these different areas and understanding who it is that they were serving and really assessing what are the abilities that this team has to be collaborative, to handle the escalated volume that exists, and to really function more as a tribe, as a small community, rather than this massive enterprise contact center. And I think that's the future of where all this is going. And we're automating the transaction stuff, as you know better than anybody, Nancy. That's going away. So what is left is this difficult stuff that requires human ability and human thought to digest, work together, collaborate on, personalize the support, humanize the support, and do something exceptional with it. The traditional contact center is not equipped to do that.
No, it's not. In fact, they just talked to a guy that went from AT&T over to ADP. And he says, we're going to have to, you know, they've got call centers here, so call me up when I get settled. And it turns out, he's like, well, guess what? He says, they have more like an ambassador. so similar to T-Mobile,
oh, wow.
It sounds like, where
yeah.
they've got a group of people that handles accounts so that you have this continuity of service because you don't
mm-hmm.
have a different person answering the phone or it doesn't get to know them, especially with ADP. If you've got, you know, somebody that maybe has like an elderly parent that keeps setting off the alarm, they're going to get to know you
yep.
pretty well if you keep having to call in and say, oh, my mother set the alarm off again. You know, so that is interesting. I think these guys are onto something because you're right. The things you can't automate are those more challenging calls, and you need to have somebody that has a higher skill set, which has come up quite a bit in recent conferences that we've been, you know, attending and speaking at. So that's interesting.
Hmm. So it's going to be more thinking about what skills does your team currently bring to the table? Where do you have these gaps as you're trying
mm-hmm.
to become more proactive? To evolve the talents of your contact center agents, et cetera, how can you ensure that you're hiring the type of people and helping your current folks to evolve towards the skill gaps that you have, giving them training far beyond what we've done historically
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
on the products and the technology and the process and the other things. It's going to be way more about your strategic thinking and your ability to design a better experience because you're going to have a role in that now.
So if you were to walk into, let's say, a traditional call center and you strongly felt, as we do, you know, that you should implement this, what would be, I would guess the first step would be, you know, to do the personality assessment to see, you know, where there are gaps. But then this whole kind of team concept, how disruptive do you think that would be to implement in a traditional call center?
Yeah, it is phenomenally disruptive. I mean, you're tossing all your metrics out the window.
Mm-hmm.
You're changing all your process. You're changing up your hierarchies significantly. But
yeah.
it's going to be tough to find the right starting point. I mean, the right starting
mm-hmm.
point is taking your voice of customer engine, identifying
yeah.
what are the key priorities that you know. These things will enhance the customer journey. These will help us to earn the right to grow the business financially over time, probably
mm-hmm.
not in Q1
2019,
but over time.
Right.
These are to do, and then from there, it's just guiding people into that vision and unifying around that vision and identifying those that are going to follow you on that journey.
Yeah, because it's, I think this would be, you'd go to the executives with this idea, they're going to be like, sounds great, but, so,
yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely strong arguments for supporting the ROI that you would get out of that kind of shakeup, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, when we look at the failure rate of digital transformation and how much money is being
mm-hmm.
wasted
oh
with
my gosh.
Inadequate, unstrategic digital transformation efforts,
yep. Yep.
things aren't lined up. I mean, there's a larger conversation
yeah.
to be had. These brands are evolving digitally. They're attempting to evolve from a customer experience perspective as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
If you can harmonize those conversations and paint this larger picture of here's the things that we can automate, and it makes sense to do so, and that's going to help us achieve our mission better and deliver a more streamlined, frictionless customer experience in that process. With this remaining activity and these things, here's what we need to do strategically to also offer the best experience possible, and here's what our customer support or contact center function needs to look like in order to do that, to provide a higher level of personalization, a higher touch or better quality
right.
experience.
Right.
So, I mean, these conversations should overlap, and they can, but, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a huge pill to swallow at first.
Yeah. Now, did the T-Mobile article talk about how the metrics for the team versus the individual, did they incorporate some kind of team-based metric then?
Yeah, they had a great set of comparison metrics around like employee engagement and retention and
mm-hmm.
also some efficiency metrics, which, I mean, it first took a hit, but like over time, even the efficiency metrics were highly favorable with this type of model.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's really interesting. Yeah, because I've seen this before where you go from, I used to part of an inside sales organization, you know, so it's like, do you do individual, do you do team, do you do, you know, it's like, you know, that dynamic of kind of the team camaraderie, you know, you got the, if somebody's not necessarily meeting their numbers, you know, there's somebody else on the team that can kind of help cover that. That's an interesting dynamic just within the team itself. That's like when I used to do I was doing a survey and a study around customer experience, you know, so the customer satisfaction scores, you know, are they changing those metrics too from the customer side of it based upon these teams, or are they keeping that kind of the same process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they're same.
Go ahead.
So
are they, I guess I was curious, are they changing the way that they ask the customer to assess their experience, or is that, did that kind of stay the same, or did they even bring that up?
I mean, the metrics that they use to compare, I mean, how successful are we in delivering an exceptional customer experience before all these transformations and
mm-hmm.
after? I mean, we're still using a lot of the same metrics of success.
Okay.
I'm still a believer in it. Yes, I still think the question is absolutely relevant and is valuable. So they were comparing that apple to apple there, using that customer effort score, which is
mm-hmm.
such a wonderful indicator in this customer support area, the more transactionally based area of was it quick and easy for you to resolve your issue? What a great question to ask.
Yeah.
For us to know how well we're delivering customer support. So that improved. But, you know, then we get into some of these average handle time and some of these total volume and ticket volume and all of these type of questions, you know, first call resolution and things of
mm-hmm.
this nature. You know, I still think that even as you shift to more of this proactive model, those things are still very good to measure. And they're measured in essentially the same way. And at least in this case, with T-Mobile and in many other cases that have made similar transformations, you know, over time, all of these metrics get better. But where you take that initial hit is in more of the, I guess you could call them more of the traditional contact center metrics that are being
mm-hmm.
measured. I mean, it's ironic and funny. When you introduce a new channel, your volume goes up. Like, it's not like it goes down. When you introduce a new efficiency tool, at first
mm-hmm.
you take a hit.
Yep.
But over time, as you automate more, as you generate more knowledge collectively across the team, as you move to more of this proactive model and start thinking about things like next issue avoidance, where it's not about how long the person is on the phone, it's way more about the quality of support being delivered and being as absolutely consultative as possible. So
mm-hmm.
it's just a completely different mentality, but many of the metrics are still the same and still very relevant.
Yeah, that's like another guest I had on the show. We talked about how even your customer support team can become a revenue-generating team. So if you've got people on the team with this mix that, you know, maybe someone's really skilled at solving the technical side of it, and somebody else is really skilled at, you know, since we helped you recover that and you're feeling real good right now, you know, by the way, we have a special on XYZ, you know, extended warranty or whatever it might be, you know, so you've got those personalities that can pick up on those cues that the customer's giving you, you know, within that team dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Very true. It takes a different type of individual to really deal with more than the exact surface level issue. Where historically we plugged in our brains of do exactly what the customer says, do it as quickly as you possibly can,
mm-hmm.
and get them off the phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally new day from that. It's how can you help the customer the very, very most and guide them to success? And there is one other metric in my mind that versus NPS and customer effort score and all of our lovely operational data in the contact center, my favorite metric, period. Is Janine Bliss's customer growth engine. Instead of talking about all these hypothetical, you know, maybe the customer, if they're likely
mm-hmm.
to recommend, maybe they're going to renew with us in 6 months, you know, these hypothetical loyalty metrics, let's look at what the customers are actually doing and viewing them as assets that we can have the ability to either grow and generate more growth as we earn
that. Right,
or if our customers are diminishing in any particular area, it's just having that robust dialogue around why. But in all these attempts at predictive metrics, sometimes we lose sight of the actual reality of, is our customer base growing by volume and value, yes or no? That's where the whole conversation starts. Mm. Start it there, and then you go down into more of the predictive. Okay, let's look at NPS. Let's look at CES. Let's look at some of these other things. But you ground the conversation in reality first using that customer growth engine.
Yeah, I was just right as you were saying that. I thought, you know, well, customer retention and employee retention go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I would look first. Today. Are we retaining customers, number one, plus growing, but then also the retention of our staff?
Absolutely.
Because that definitely has an impact. Did they state anything like turnover for the T-Mobile study?
I didn't realize I'd be talking about this so much. I would have had the article sitting in front of me.
But they
absolutely highlighted the employee turnover metrics, and they were significantly better. And I have a personal testimony around this too. I mean, working from a contact center environment, managing a contact center environment, I mean, when you make this shift to giving the agents more ability and more control and more skill and equipping them to be a more modern customer experience designer, you enhance their life. You make their job so much more empowering and so much more fulfilling and more meaningful. And your turnover rates do improve. And that happened in dramatic fashion at T-Mobile. I mean, there's so many things there. I mean, if you think about walking into a massive contact center and just the rows of cubicles and everybody on the phone and the different things,
right.
Compare that to family units of 48 people, where you're getting to rally together and serve alongside a group of people that you know and trust and respect, and you get to know your customers too. And you're doing something together. You're building an experience for a group of customers. You have something you can be proud of. There's a legacy there. You've got these relationships. All of the Gallup Q12 questions that we've been
and I'm sure that would also, you know, being proactive. Like, let's say you got a new product coming out on the market. You know, that team's going to know how their customers, they will be able to predict themselves, human-to-human prediction, based upon the relationship that they've already built with them to say, well, hey, you know, if we launch this product, I know 50% of my customers are not going to like this change. So we have to be prepared for it so they can get in front of it and get ahead of it before they start getting these calls coming in.
Yep, they got a pretty good gut.
Yeah, no, that's phenomenal. I'll have to find that article and put a link to it on the post. So that's that just speaks stronger to that and speaks to that team dynamic, looking at where your gaps are and identifying them. Is there a certain situation where you don't think that would work?
Well, I mean, if you're a team of one, required to take up the full mantle of responsibility of the CX burden, then, you know, that's you. And in the contact center, I don't think we should go overboard with personality assessments and other things. I think that the more important thing is just shifting this mentality and trying to assess what are the gaps that we have today as a team, as an organization, and how can we best fill those gaps? And one of the strategies in that could very well be to assess the current demographic something like a DISC, Myers-Briggs, or Enneagram. If you're not aware or if you don't feel like you know what those gaps really are today, that would be one good potential step. But it's not the end-all be-all.
Yep.
It wouldn't even be required in all scenarios, especially with a really small contact center where you've already got a good idea of what your gaps are.
Mm-hmm.
It might be time to go ahead and start thinking about what's the best way to fill in those gaps that we're aware of.
Yeah, no, that's a good place to start because, you're right. Sometimes you have limitations and resources to be able to do that. But, you know, I think part of what organizations can do, I don't know if they always do this or exercise this, is sit people down in a room and just say, you know, what are you running across? You know, what can we do better? You know, because sometimes when I sit down with trainers when we design simulations, they give me scripts, but then when I ask them, well, what would the agent really say here? You know, I think they struggle sometimes because they don't know because they haven't been on the phone. And that's why I would much prefer to have one of your top performers sit down and go through the scripts and the storyboards, because they know firsthand, you know, what scenarios they're going to be running into and how to handle them.
Yeah, no, it's so much different. The best practice statement versus the reality of what people actually say.
Yes.
To natural language process.
Yeah, because I run into that so much when I, you know, then when I sit down and play the role of the agent, I'm like, this just does not feel natural. I mean, if I was a person, a real person talking to a customer, I don't think I would say it this formally. So even just little things like that, if you just, you know, I think it would, they would feel good about having a say. So that's why I think this team concept works, because they're able to contribute, like you said, and take some kind of control over the outcomes and the relationships that they have with their customers.
Yeah.
That's great. So so for my last question, you know, since you're getting exposure to some of these other new methodologies of designing teams or challenging with the customer experience, is there anything that you see that's coming into the marketplace that's going to impact customer experience in a way that's different than what's happening today?
Oh, good. I hope
either,
goodness.
Yeah, either technology-wise or maybe some kind of new organizational structure that you've seen that, besides the T-Mobile example, is there something that, from a customer service experience, what do you see might have the greatest impact in the future?
Yeah, I mean, from a CX perspective, I do think on the – so I view it in – I send three different buckets. You've got your voice of customer engine, which is where you're getting all your insights and you're learning what you need to do to improve the customer journey. Then you've really got that engineering experience where you're actually executing on those priorities to make the experience better. You're going through the process of designing a better experience. Then you've got that employee experience foundation where you're actually changing the culture and behaviors, supporting that process, and executing on those priorities. So if you look at that voice of customer part, the technology is about to shift that. I mean, these traditional services that we've been hanging on to, that's going away. I mean, we're going to have way better ways to ascertain the thoughts and feelings of our customers straight from their brain, straight from their mouth, straight from their body language, their facial expressions. I mean, that voice of customer part, the technology is about to blow that out of the water and change everything.
Yeah.
But when it comes to us building good teams, when it comes to us executing on those priorities, when it comes to us engaging our employees, those things we actually need to go back to the foundation on. We've over-trusted technologies.
Right.
We've gotten lost on some of the foundational practices of John Coder in leading change, where we need to form that guiding coalition, and we need to root these changes inside of the organization and give them enough time to actually grow and take root and change behaviors. We've become so on demand and so short term in our attention spans. Organizations don't give these things the opportunity to even survive. So it's almost like a Futurama situation with voice of customer, and then we need to take a huge step back in the way that we're thinking and approaching the rest of the cycle in order for us to be successful.
Yeah, we need to add some more organic capabilities in there, so that and it takes time, like you said, to grow. So if it's an organic kind of dimension that comes out of that, because you're allowing those things to take time to implement, to bloom, to take hold, to take root, and then the results are certainly going to drive that customer behavior even better. So that's great. Well, I really appreciate your input. I know you're a busy guy. You're in high demand, and our audience appreciates you as well.
Nice.
They love it.
Thank you.
So I thank you very much, and you know, best of luck to you on all your next activities.
Well, thank you, Nancy. This has been a pleasure, and let me know anything I can be doing for you. I'll make it happen.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks a lot.